What's up, everybody? This is just a reminder that this week's episode on Eternals and the state of the MCU was split up into two parts. What you're about to hear is part two, which includes our discussion of the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Phase 4 so far, as well as our thoughts on what is still to come. So welcome if you are coming here from part one. If you did not catch part one yet, feel free to go back and listen to that. I hope you enjoy.
Let's talk about Phase 4. Here are the movies that we've already gotten. We got Black Widow earlier this year. We got Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. And we have Eternals. This is coming after the first decade, I would say, of Marvel Entertainment. We've gained beloved heroes. We have lost beloved heroes. And now we're kind of on a new frontier. Have you guys liked Phase 4 so far with Black Widow and Shang-Chi?
Well, first, I just want to add that the Disney Plus TV series do tie heavily into the movies, so I do want to give mention to those with WandaVision, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and Loki. What If? Not so much. It left off kind of ambiguous whether or not that was going to be tied into the main canon or not, so I'm going to leave that one as a discussion for another time. So far, I like where it's going for the most part. Not every movie has been, like, top MCU tier compared to what we've seen, but you can't expect them all to be the best movie ever. I mean, eventually you're going to get one that's a bit more conservative of a hit. But I've enjoyed everything I've been watching, so I can't complain.
I found them enjoyable. I don't think they're really anything great. I'm definitely curious to where Phase 4 is going because nothing is tied together yet. There's no thread in between them, so it'd be interesting to see that. But other than that, I thought they were, for Eternals aside, I thought the other two were fine, enjoyable.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't love either of these. I liked Black Widow. I thought Shang-Chi was probably the strongest, had the most stuff in it. I do find it exciting, though, that we are in a period where everything can kind of stand on its own for now. We don't need everything so tied in. That's kind of a complaint I've had with Marvel sometimes, is that every movie of one hero has to involve every other hero somehow. Like the Spider-Man movies always had to bring in Iron Man, which I like Iron Man, but sometimes I just want a Spider-Man movie. Shout out to the Raimi trilogy, or the Raimi first two. We can get into that discussion in about a month. But I do think it's exciting. Here's what we have coming. We do have a Hawkeye series. The next movie is, of course, Spider-Man. That's coming out December 17th. That is from John Watts. And I was so excited to have a fun time at the movies until Tom Holland just said that, no, you're going to come out depressed.
It's brutal. I just want to talk about a point you brought up real quick before we move past it, of everything's kind of like standing on its own now. And I do agree with that, but I did kind of enjoy that out of the MCU because it was very comic book-like. You know, all the comics intertwined and they bring in characters, which, yeah, it gets way too much at points. So you're like, you have to read all these, like, six books just to understand this one. I do agree that it gets bloated, but I did kind of like that like other characters were appearing in the other ones because that did feel like...
No, I think it was amazing towards the end when we, you know, obviously, you know, Civil War and all those Avengers, all those milestones. But it's just like with Marvel, I feel like there's such tight control that unless you're doing a series like What If, which has done some cool stuff, that you can't have like these standalones like DC has been doing. And that's not me saying I prefer DC to Marvel, because I certainly don't. But you know, I'm wondering if they will ever do kind of these shoot off movies that aren't super consequential to everything else. But after Spider-Man, we are going to get Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which comes out So far, these, of course, are subject to change, could be moved. Comes out May 6th of next year, and I am seeing that this is directed by Sam Raimi.
Really? I did not know
Wait, you
that.
didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, he's been on that project for quite a while now.
I remember I thought I heard like rumors about it and then never anything after that. I didn't realize he was attached.
How are you guys excited for a new Doctor Strange
I never saw
movie?
the original Doctor Strange. But I'm definitely that seems interesting, especially with Sam Raimi at the helm, so I'll definitely see it.
So actually, you guys know why that Sam Raimi is doing the new Doctor Strange over Scott Derrickson, who did the first one?
Because Tobey Maguire is going to be the new Doctor Strange.
No, Scott Derrickson has been busy making the Black Phone.
Oh. Patron movie of the podcast, The Black Phone.
We should start a countdown for that as well as ambulance because I'm pumped.
I am pumped for the Black Phone too. Hopefully, it's not a major disappointment.
Look at what happened with Nighthouse. You gotta pump the brakes a little
Listen,
bit.
we will in January we're going to be doing our 2021 review episode, and perhaps we could have an awards category for biggest disappointment of the
I
year.
mean, the Black Phone is like the multiverse, you know, you get all the different victims talking to the kid.
That is like the
I think that's
multiverse.
just I think that's just the ghost verse.
Ghosts like how?
Yeah, go. What do you mean ghosts? Do you believe in spirits? What do you I don't know what you mean. It's ridiculous. After that, we're gonna have Thor: Love and Thunder by Taika Waititi's coming out on July 8th. I feel like I've been hearing about this movie forever. I feel like it's also been forever since I saw Natalie Portman.
Is she gonna be in this? Oh yeah, she's. Yeah,
I
I
believe she
believe you're
is.
right.
I want to say last time I saw her was Lucy in the Sky, and not after that. But that'll be exciting for that. The thing I have love about Thor, and I think we'll get into this later with one of you guys, is that it's been a great outlet for the Hulk, who is one of my favorite heroes, without us having to suffer through another kind of bad singular Hulk movie. She-Hulk, that also sounds amazing, so I'm excited for that. We are getting Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. Ryan Coogler is coming back for that, which really makes me feel very confident in this. It's coming out November 11th of next year. Unfortunately, tragically, we will not have Chadwick Boseman, but nonetheless, I am very excited to see that. Guardians, oh no, wait, I missed one. The Marvels, which exciting with this, Nia DaCosta is directing this one. That isn't going to come out until 2023. Last time Tyler and I went to see Captain Marvel, we
Very
got a free movie
embarrassing.
ticket because I don't think I've told the story yet.
No, but you promised you would.
And here it is, because this is just bizarre. Tyler and I were walking in to see Captain Marvel, and Tyler, you forgot your
Yeah, I had to
phone
go
in the
get back to
car.
the car.
So you handed me a movie pass. I went to get our tickets. I said, two for Captain Marvel. And I said, I'm paying for one with this movie pass. I hand it to the very nice young woman who was at the box office, and she goes, oh, this has already been used. I'm gonna have to call a manager. And normally I would be like, oh, you know, it's fine, don't worry about it. But one, it was your ticket. And two, when you use a movie pass, they don't usually hand it back to you. Go, here's your used movie pass.
They don't give it back.
Yeah.
This was literally given to me by my workplace.
So,
I can't imagine they gave me a used
big man on campus manager comes over. And the nice young woman explains to him, like, oh, the machine says it's already been used. The guy looks at him, he's like, you know, I can't use it. It's already been used. And I'm like, oh, you know, that's okay. I have $8 or whatever. He's like, I'll give it to you for the embarrassment of trying to use a used movie pass. And I'm like, I'm not embarrassed. And he's like, well, you're standing there looking like, and he didn't finish the sentence, and I wanted him to finish it. So I'm like a crook? He's like, nah, not a crook, just, you know, I'd be embarrassed if this were me. And I'm like, okay, your tolerance for embarrassment is rather low. And then he's telling the young, he's like, put my name on it so that they know it's valid. And I'm like, oh, whoa, everybody back up.
Oh, it's the Big Shot over here. His name's on it.
And then I wanted so
He
badly to
makes the
tell
calls.
Tyler about this, but we had to sit through 2 hours of Captain Marvel for me to tell him, which you can only imagine that experience depending on what your opinion of Captain Marvel is. But we are getting the Marvels. I have full faith in Nia DaCosta, so that's very cool. After that, we're getting Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. James Gunn, after a long and arduous journey with Disney, will be returning at this point. TBA or TBD on that. That should be coming out on May 5th, 2023. I think that's going to be awesome. Oh, that just started production.
They just
Excellent.
started
They also
production.
cast Will Poulter as Adam
Yeah.
Warlock. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, directed by Peyton Reed, is July 28th of 2023. I think that should be fun. This one seems like it's going to be a large sort of conglomerate, a lot of pieces coming together kind of movie.
I wonder if Jonathan Majors as Kang is going to be the big bad of Phase 4.
Well,
No.
I'm not going to say it because I don't want to spoil anything if people haven't seen it yet, but he comes up at the end of
All right,
something.
thank you. Thank you for the I know what you're
non-spoiler.
talking. I know what
Appreciated.
you're talking. Yes.
And then I saw listed online a Fantastic Four movie. This is by John Watts. I was gonna say, maybe Miles Teller is gonna show up again as Mr. Fantastic, but
Nah.
no offense to
Isn't it like
Miles,
John
but.
Krasinski heavily rumored?
That's like the biggest fan casting is John Krasinski and Emily Blunt as Reed Richards and Sue Storm, respectively. I mean,
I'm
you
here for
really just
that.
need somebody who's incredibly flexible.
Who play who who's your dream of the thing?
Dream the fit Michael Chiklis.
Is it Michael Chiklis? You want him to reprise the You want Jason Momoa as
That would be fine. I don't know. I'm gonna have to think about that one. Michael Chiklis, I thought, did a good job in those movies that were okay. Oh, this is another fun fact of my young life, is that the first movie, you know the feeling you get where you're sitting in a theater and you're like, God, I just wish this was over. I discovered that that feeling existed for the first time when I was watching Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer. I don't know how old, I was a child, and I'm just like, I just want this to be done so that I can leave, and I don't even know what.
My favorite part about that movie is like they took Galactus and they're like, let's make him a cloud.
I
That's
mean,
a really
clouds are
threatening bad
scary.
guy. He's a big cloud.
Are you guys at all excited to see the Fantastic Four in the MCU?
I mean, I'm waiting for like casting to
Wait,
be
will Chris
decided.
Evans be the Human Torch again?
That'd be interesting.
I'm here for it. Is he just gonna come back and nobody's gonna acknowledge that he looks exactly like Steve Rogers?
That would be incredible. He's gonna be the thing.
He's gonna be the thing, yeah. And then we are getting Blade with Mahershala Ali. Mahershala Ali is mega awesome. I also would not have minded if Wesley Snipes did this again. Wouldn't have minded at all.
Blade versus the IRS.
And we did not mention, but before it seems that in the post credits for Eternals, we have Dane Whitman who unsheaths a sword, and it seems to be that Blade speaks to him, though we don't see Blade.
No, Blade. No, Blade speaks to him. The blade is speaking to him, like the sword is speaking to
Oh.
him, and then Blade speaks to him. How long do you think he was standing in the doorway there?
Is waiting for it. He's
The
like
whole time he's like pacing, ready to open it. He's just kind of leaning against the
oh,
door frame.
I
He's like,
really gotta sneeze, but I can't ruin the moment.
I'm waiting for your blade to finish talking to you, so me blade
Yeah.
can say my part. Too many
I
blades in the
I'm Blade. He looks at the sword. What? It'd be a total Abbott and
You're the sword?
Costello. Yeah. We are also getting Moon Knight, which I think has Ethan Hawke in it, which
Ethan Hawke. I thought it was Oscar Isaac. Oscar
is it
Isaac.
Oscar
It's
Isaac?
Oscar Isaac.
I
It's
heard Ethan
Moon
Hawke
Knight.
at one point.
He might be in it. He might be in it. I don't know. He might be another character. I
Because
know
that
Oscar Isaac is the Moon Knight.
yeah. Because that would be incredible to see him. All right, well, that's exciting. I love Oscar Isaac too. He was maybe one of the only parts I actually liked about Dune, but that was, listen to our episode on Dune for those full thoughts. What about, are we, do we know? Have we heard
Ethan Hawke
anything?
is in it.
Oh, he
Undisclosable.
is.
Yes.
Oh, good. All right, I'm not insane. Are we any more Deadpool? Are we getting any more of that?
Allegedly.
Cool.
I haven't heard anything about that.
I guess they got the Molyneux sisters who did work on like Bob's Burgers and I forget what else offhand, but I think they're supposed to be writing it with Ryan Reynolds.
Very cool. Oh, that is really, that was exciting for a second.
Hope stashed.
You guys need to be nice to Ryan Reynolds, okay?
Haven't heard great things about Red Notice. Listen, I don't judge before I see things for myself, but
Leave my Ryan alone.
okay, that's you can have him. Are there anybody we want to see return? Any heroes, any characters you want to see introduced?
I mean, if we're talking entire MCU, I'd love to see Daredevil come back.
Okay, yeah.
I really thought he was solid as that. So definitely that. Luke Cage too, I would enjoy. And Jessica Jones.
Do you want to see John Bernthal just bust into a movie as the
I think it'd be
Punisher?
interesting, John Bernthal as Punisher to be back in.
And here's the big question. Do you ever want to see the X-Men merge into the MCU?
Well, we're gonna have to eventually.
I kind of don't want it. I kind of just want them to be their own thing.
I don't mind that they will. I feel like Wolverine, that part was perfected by
Yes.
Hugh Jackman, so it's
Love
gonna
Hugh
be weird to
Jackman.
have another Wolverine.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, I'm not as excited as that, but I mean, I'm here for it when it happens.
It's also going to be incredibly hard for anybody who now wants to play the role of P.T. Barnum because Hugh Jackman
That's true.
just killed that one.
All those
Greatest
people that
showman.
their P.T. Barnum scripts threw them in the
Yeah,
trash.
threw him in there. Oh, I can't do it now. I don't know. I just feel like the X-Men have a big enough world on their own. I trust the people at Marvel to make it good, but at the same time, if you were just giving me more X-Men movies like Days of Future Past, then I would be all cool with that.
That's true. The X-Men does have a large universe on their own, even without merging, like very fleshed out.
So the MCU, it all started with Tony Stark getting blown up by his own missile, and we've gotten a lot
It
of.
started with the Incredible Hulk, Ed
Yes,
Norton,
it
actually.
well, I was trying to be a little revisionist, but he had to go digging out dirty laundry.
It started with him. It was this the end of the movie where he had the revolver to his own head and he went to shoot himself and then he turned into the Hulk and crushed
Yeah.
it. So dumb. And I think that was the end of the Incredible Hulk.
Well, regardless, whatever version of history you want to remember, we got a lot of wonderful movies over the years. So right now we are going to move into our personal favorite top three Marvel movies so far. I just have one more question before we start. Do you guys think there's ever going to be a time when we just stop getting Marvel movies for a while? Or is it too big? Is the train just rolling?
It's true. I don't know. They could be carrying this on for years, but I think at some point interest in it's going to wane, and it's not going to be as big a money maker to make multi-billion-dollar movies every couple months.
Yeah, I'm so curious about that. I mean, I'm gonna enjoy the ride for as long as it goes, but at what point will there be diminishing returns?
I'm sure the same was said about like westerns and stuff too.
Actually, yeah,
So.
I had that conversation with my barber earlier today. We started out talking about like slasher movies and how that kind of peaked in the 70s and 80s and then eventually kind of waned in popularity. And I mean, they still tried cranking them out, but they just weren't the same. So I wonder if superhero movies, especially the MCU, will kind of follow that trajectory where you'll almost get like franchise fatigue. I hope not, because I love everything they've been doing. It's been very good quality control on their end, but they can only control so much. Ultimately, the crowds and the people putting their money into the machine is what's going to determine it.
Eventually, what's going to happen is we're going to get like entire movies dedicated to a guy who was seen on like the background of one panel of like a comic book from
There you go.
1982. And like Dave, the background guy. It's like, whoa, it's Dave the back.
Well, they could just start going into all the Simpsons characters.
We Also,
could.
underrated aspect, they're gonna run out of actors soon. It's only so many actors. You can't have any
Well, you
more.
know what needs to happen is that the big bad of Phase 4 needs to be Flat Stanley.
I forgot about Flat Stanley.
It was an Avengers poster board he had above his
Yeah,
head at
it was Avengers poster board. It
that
crushed him. He's like, "Those Avengers! People are flying me like a kite." Yeah, that needs to happen. He's out for vengeance, Flat Stanley.
The BFG is gonna show up to fight him. The big friendly giant, just to be clear.
How often is When's the last time the BFG was mentioned by anybody?
The film several years ago.
No, but I'm saying, like, since then. It's the
Hey,
last time.
listen, we respect Roald Dahl on this podcast every second, all right? Even if Tim Chalamet is doing something with his work, which that's yet to be determined. All right, but let's move into our top three MCU films. We're going to celebrate the excellence that they have done over the years. Tyler, why don't we start with your number three?
Why don't we? Mine is the first Avengers by a director that shall remain nameless. No, I think like to think about it now, it seems like the safest bet ever. Oh, an Avengers movie, but like back then, that was pretty ambitious. Like that, the MCU is just getting its footing. They just introduced the characters, and they were bringing like the entire team. So it could have gone wrong, and if it did, the MCU kind of would have been dead in its tracks. So. I think it was just fun. You know, it was cool to see all these characters that they fleshed out. You know, you really didn't see that back then of you got like all these movies of these characters and now we're gonna bring them all at once. So that was definitely an interesting formula, which now is just like part of our every day. Every 5 minutes we get that from either DC, Marvel, or someone else. But I think they just showed they could bring in an ensemble cast and make it work.
Absolutely. Matt, you're number three.
So my number three is a TV series, but I also want to give a shout out, an honorable mention to another Disney Plus TV series, Loki. I won't go too much into it, but I wanted to mention it because, well, it has pretty heavy implications to the future of Phase 4. The plot was engaging. It was well acted. Tom Hiddleston, Sophia DiMartino as Sylvie, Owen Wilson, and Gator Loki, of course. It was all really well put together. But my actual number three is going to go to WandaVision. Granted, it wasn't supposed to be, but because of COVID, it ended up being the first Disney Plus MCU series. It had big expectations to fill, and I think it absolutely nailed it. There were multiple points during that series where they ended an episode on a moment that just left me like yelling. I'm like, ah, I can't believe I got to wait another week for this. I've been on the
I
edge of
feel
my
like that was
seat.
every
And
episode. I did that so well.
that was every episode just about. And I can't remember the last time I felt that way about a TV series where I was just so invested so quickly. And just, I would, you'd watch an episode, go on YouTube, watch videos, people breaking it down, and like all these people,
Exactly.
like that just added to the charm of it. And just, it really felt like
100%.
a big community of Marvel fans coming together over like a common theme, a common thing to discuss every week.
I think that was a large part of it. Like you got at a cliffhanger and you immediately went and you looked at what other people were thinking and it created this cool, like everyone was guessing what was gonna happen. Almost all of them were wrong, but I really enjoyed that. I think that worked. I'm glad they did it weekly because it really allowed that like community to form.
Yeah, 'cause
So that was
like
cool.
you don't really get that much these days.
No.
No. That's why I want to shout out separating episodic TV, where you have to wait a week for the episode to premiere. I know it's nerve-wracking, but it does like cause this excitement in you. Who shot JR? Like I said, I'm a Walking Dead fan. I've loved that for years about it. White Lotus was the same this year. I got excited for it every week.
And I really just want to make sure I note just how much I loved all of the acting in it. Even like the super background characters, that were basically, minor spoiler, under mind control this whole time. Like you could just tell, like, in the moments when the mind control was broken, they played their characters with such distress. But then, like, the side characters, you know, you had Darcy, played by Kat Dennings, you had Jimmy Woo coming back, played by Randall Park, Monica Rambeau, played impeccably by Tiana Paris, and then, of course, the big three. You had Agnes, played by Catherine Hahn, Vision, Paul Bettany, and, of course, my personal favorite, Wanda, Elizabeth Olsen, one of my celebrity crushes right there. They were just all so good. They just killed it with that series.
Yeah, it was a very cool experiment as well that I thought was very interesting.
Need more Catherine Hahn, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I agree.
I read somewhere she might be getting a series of her own. I don't know how they're going to make it work for her character, yeah. But I'm optimistic. It's
going to be tough. I love Catherine Hahn, though.
Yeah, I won't question it. My number three is Best Picture nominee for the Academy Awards, Black Panther. This was directed by Ryan Coogler, written by Ryan Coogler and Joe Robert Cole, starring the late, great Chadwick Boseman, Michael B. Jordan, Letitia Wright, and a whole bunch of amazing people. This is one of those movies where the world that they create is so convincing, so complex, so enthralling, that you can't help but get caught up in it. The action is amazing. You fall in love with both the heroes and the villains, which is one of my favorite things in entertainment. The music by Ludwig Göransson is incredible. And to wrap it all off, it has a very convincing kind of take on isolationist politics, which I wasn't expecting when I went into that thing, but I came out incredibly amazed. Black Panther is super exciting, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
I just want to make a quick point. You know, I said earlier, Marvel has a really bad track record with villains, and that's one of the cases of them really nailing it.
Yeah, Killmonger
is great, and I really wish they didn't kill him off.
Yes, spoiler for that.
Oh, sorry.
How about
it's been out 3 years.
Fun fact, I learned that Wesley Snipes wanted to make a Black Panther in the early 90s, but it just never got off the ground. I would have loved to see that. I need more Wesley. All right, Tyler, your number two.
My number two was the Avengers Endgame, which really wrapped up kind of the main series of, I think, 10 years of films. And yeah. Honestly, this the Endgame special to me, story issues aside, the time travel and stuff was kind of ridiculous. But that was one of the best theater experiences I ever had. I mean, yeah. Like, I was pumped. It was such a cool atmosphere to see, like, because it's been 10 years building up. And I think, you know how hard it is to wrap something up that's been going for 10 years in a satisfying way? And I think they did. I have issues with it, the time travel inconsistencies and all that. But I really enjoyed it. I mean, I loved it. I'll never have an experience like that in theaters. Where, like, I was just like when the on your left, I'm spoiling some now, but everyone knows these are everywhere now. When Cap caught Mjolnir. Such a cool, it was all fan service, but I loved it for that. I loved that, like, this universe I got so invested in for so long just had this cool, really, like, throwbacks to all these characters and stuff. And
I wholly agree with that. The theater experience seeing that movie, I saw it like four times. I saw it like four times when it was in theaters.
You saw it four times?
I'm pretty sure, something like that. But every time it just, the energy, just the excitement was palpable in the room. And like when those moments, like the on your left, the Thor catching Mjolnir, I mean, very rarely do you have like a packed house full of moviegoers just audibly cheering and screaming with excitement. Yeah. It's at a moment like that. It's just, you don't get that very often, if at all. That was probably
hard to build that up. Like, yeah, I mean, there'll never be another one like that, because you're not going to get another 10-year like project that this many people get invested in.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get, like, I know, like, you know, the whole Scorsese thing, like, it's theme park and stuff, and, you know, it's not masterpiece cinema, and I get that. But there is a place for this, and that it is a fun ride, and it's cool to experience, and that's what I love about Marvel. It's fun.
I think you really said it all there. Yeah, awesome. Matt, your number two.
My number two is Thor Ragnarok, directed by Taika Waititi. It's really the movie that redeemed MCU Thor as a character for me. Because I gotta say, I wasn't really there for the first Thor or the second Thor solo films. In hindsight, they weren't bad. Like, I'll watch them for the sake of, like, in case I need to brush up on the continuity or if I want to do like a binge watch of all the Marvel movies again. They have their purpose, but they never really did it for me up until this third installment. Like I said, directed by Taika Waititi, who I can't think of a single project of his that I've seen that I didn't love. Hunt for the Wilder People, you got What We Do in the Shadows, you got Jojo Rabbit. Like, he's just got a certain that style and humor that only he seems to be able to bring to screen when he directs or he writes and directs a movie. I liked how vibrantly colored the set pieces were in a lot of the scenes of Thor Ragnarok. The humor was very well timed, but it still kept at the same time. It took the material pretty seriously. My example of that is the Thor versus Hulk gladiator scene. Like, that was just a fun action set piece, but then the whole break in the moment when he's like, oh, he's a friend from work, like, you know, that's just like the Marvel formula firing on all cylinders right there.
Right.
I think the whole Thor Hulk relationship in that movie was that
Yeah.
just top tier Marvel. Like, it's such a great like, I don't even know how I'm wording it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Also, Cate Blanchett just having the time of her life going off.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. My number two, I'm gonna do kind of a dual pick. Both Spider-Man films, both Homecoming and Far From Home. I'm still not really sure if I had to pick one, which I like more. But for me, Spider-Man is my favorite superhero, and this really revitalized it, sort of after the Sony, the. Well, I won't talk about that. But Spider-Man was in a dark place, and these are done by John Watts, and they just brought him up. I really adore Tom Holland as, I think he's an incredible Peter Parker, and Spider-Man. Fun fact, and we'll get into this in about a month. Not my favorite Spider-Man, but my second favorite Spider-Man. He does an incredible job. Michael Keaton as Vulture. Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. These are a lot of fun. I won't say too much about them because we're going to talk about them more in depth in about a month. But those are my second favorite.
I think it
Tom.
was a, this is kind of not trying to get into spoiler here, but I just think it was a really cool take on Mysterio that they brought in, like,
Yeah.
to modernize it.
Yeah, and the sequence where there were all the crazy visual effects of like going inside the mine when Mysterio had control over Spider-Man, I thought that was one of the coolest sequences
Yeah.
that Marvel has ever done.
I
All right,
agree.
Tyler, your favorite
My
MCU.
favorite, Captain America, Winter Soldier. It's really like a kind of like a thinly veiled political thriller action movie in the MCU. I think it's one of the coolest action movies like that. Well, the coolest action sequences in the MCU, and I think that it really created this cool kind of moral quandary of like surveillance versus safety. You know, Captain America, this organization he's been working for so long, is like he sees like. Basically, you know, like at any moment they can kill anyone for the sake of safety. So it kind of turns him against it. And then you see that whole, I'm gonna do spoilers because I just
Okay.
gotta talk about it.
Thank you for the warning.
You get to see the whole fall of SHIELD and stuff, which was like this massive organization to start like at the beginning of the MCU that created the Avengers and stuff. So that was such a cool plot line. And just seeing Bucky return as the Winter Soldier was awesome. And I just love it so much. I think it's one of the most well-done movies in the
Yeah,
MCU.
I
I
think
agree.
big improvement over the first Captain America, which
Yeah,
when I first
absolutely.
saw it, I was like not a fan of, but.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Directed by the Russo brothers, it's definitely some of their best work. Never mind the never mind what they would go on to do in the
Cherry.
MCU. Not I said in the MCU. We're not talking about post MCU because that's a
But
discussion for
Spider-Man
another
was in
day.
that. That had to be
Yeah,
MCU.
Spider-Man is in it. Matt, your favorite MCU movie?
Right, so my favorite MCU movie, I probably would have put this even if Tyler didn't take Endgame. So mine was Avengers Infinity War, which I kind of want to use this also to elaborate more on how much I love what the Russos have done. Their first one was Captain America Winter Soldier. Like Tyler said, great action movie all around, with like an MCU lens on it. Then they went on to Captain America Civil War, which was another That probably would have been a runner-up for one of my favorites when I think about it, too. Going back to what Tyler was saying about Avengers Endgame, it was really, this was just part one of two of the culmination of 10 years worth of meticulous planning and cinematic world building on the part of Marvel. And I think it couldn't have gone much better. The chemistry between the actors was very palpable as well. When they broke off into the different groups, you had like Iron Man, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, like them on their tangent. And then my personal favorite part was all the scenes with Thor in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Especially Star Lord and Thor kind of button heads a little bit for the leadership role. This is another one I saw multiple times in theaters because it was so well shot and it was just so cinematic and just like a once in a lifetime movie, really. And then
Yeah.
that gut punch of an ending,
Yeah.
Yeah.
like no
That was a
knowing
downer.
knowing full well there was going to be a sequel, but still, it just, like I said, the ending was just with everyone. I mean, it's been out for years, so I'm gonna say what happens.
Everyone knows.
So when Thanos snapped his fingers and everyone just started getting blipped and dusted, that will stick with me probably for the rest of my life as like one of the best cinematic moments I've ever seen, or the most, maybe not best, like yay happy times, but like most impactful. And especially that, going back to that scene where Spider-Man is about to get dusted, or blipped, is if you want to use the continuity of the movies, with him and Spider-Man and Iron Man kind of like embracing, and he's like scared and doesn't know what's going on. It just that, even
Yeah.
thinking about that scene today, it just makes me a little bit emotional because it's just so well acted by Tom Holland and well executed. And Thanos is by far one of the best movie villains of the century so far, easily. Maybe not the best, because there's a lot of movie villains that are out there that are great, but Thanos was definitely, like I said, the product of this 10 years of meticulous planning and world building.
Yeah, if you guys wanted to hear us talk greatest cinematic villains, let us know and we could talk about that at some point. Matt did a little spoiler for my number one MCU film, and that is Guardians of the Galaxy, directed by James Gunn, written by James Gunn and Nicole Perlman, who also did story on Captain Marvel and I learned on Detective Pikachu, if anyone is a fan of that.
I was.
Oh yeah, because of Ryan Reynolds' Pikachu.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is based on the comic by Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning. Guardians of the Galaxy is just one of those movies that does not stop. It's awesome from beginning to end. Like I said with Black Panther, there's so many weird alien things, places, settings, practices that go on, but I never feel lost watching them. And the first time I watched it, I just felt like I got everything. Everything was so clear, even though it was so alien. The makeup in this movie is absolutely unbelievable. It looks immaculate. The production design, the blocking from James Gunn, the cinematographer. And I just really love a good, like, organic coming together of a team kind of story. And that's what this does. They all kind of meet serendipitously, and they just form a bond, which the theme of this is, I think, really paramount to the MCU, right? Themes of camaraderie and kind of the idea that things are always worth doing when you're doing it for someone else, which is what they learn to do. And I think that is a thread throughout all of the MCU movies, especially when you get like Avengers kind of stuff. It's really funny without like being overpowering. I think the sequel kind of like, not as much of the humor lands for me, but the first one is really funny. The Jackson Pollock joke about if he had a black light in his spaceship, that is like probably the dirtiest joke that the MCU has ever done.
Probably.
And it's
I mean,
really like slipped in there really inconspicuously. But when I was rewatching, I was like, oh yeah, I had forgotten.
I feel like only James Gunn could have slipped something like that in there.
Yeah, and then when Rocket's like, "You got problems, man," I was like, "That's a great way to cap that off." Yeah, and every single performance is awesome. Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, I don't think Dave Bautista has ever had a better role. I mean, we will see in his future, but I think as Drax, that is best. I feel the same way about Karen Gillan. She's wonderful in everything she does, but I think her as Nebula, I love the little robotic voice effect that they do on her voice. She is absolutely incredible. Brad Cooper as Rocket Raccoon. Vin Diesel, who I would really love to hear the meeting with his agent and with the MCU of like, he's like, okay, yeah, great. I'm gonna do another Triple X movie, but you got me for this one. What do I have to say? And they're
They
like,
just hand him a script. He's
yeah.
just like, wait, what?
He's like, I could take a break from F9 to do this real quick, I
Yeah.
suppose. F12.
I'll take a break from Bloodsport. And
Bloodshot.
I am, oh,
Bloodshot.
Bloodshot. No,
Bloodsport
Bloodsport,
was.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, excuse
No,
me.
Bloodsport was Idris Elba in Suicide Squad. In the Suicide Squad. Sorry.
And thus, so another James, it all
Another
connects.
James Gunn.
I do think that Ronan, while not the baddest baddie of all, is a very interesting villain because he is a middleman who kind of decides to usurp power that is not his, and tries to, rule the galaxy. I like the sort of like weird paint design on his face. And again, I like his position as sort of like rebelling against Thanos.
I love the scene where Chris Pratt's dancing and he's like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah. Also, the end to Daddy's Home, the Will Ferrell, it ends the same exact way. But Guardians of the Galaxy is a lot better. And the supporting performances here, Damon Hounsou, I feel like he is not used enough in this movie. He's incredibly menacing in it, and I would have loved to have seen 10 billion more scenes with him in it. Benicio del Toro is sort of this like quirky, manic guy with this white hair. He was absolutely wonderful. And then this is how stacked this movie is that I forgot in the middle of it that John C. Reilly and Glenn Close are in it. I just forget that they're in it. And then I'm like, oh yeah, it's John C. Reilly and Glenn Close.
Well, they didn't really do much, though.
They didn't do, but like, I just find it amazing.
What about Seth Green? Am I going to give Seth Green any
Yeah, right?
props? Oh, so excuse me,
Wait,
sir.
Glenn Close is from Hillbilly Elegy? That Glenn
Okay,
Close?
it's a stop. Stop yourself. Who are you? The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences that you don't recognize Glenn Close? Please, I think that's a game we're gonna have to play this year. Is that which Glenn Close role will get her the Oscar nomination this
So
year?
Glenn Close, yet so Glenn Far.
Cast her in Nomadland 2.
That has to be a hashtag. So Glenn Close, yet so Glenn Far. Guardians of the Galaxy, I think it's perfect. The sequel, I still think is really, really good. I don't like it as much. Or I should say, I don't like the first half as much, but the second half really gets me. I don't cry often at MCU movies, but spoiler, when Yondu and Star-Lord are floating up into the atmosphere and he talks about being his daddy, that really gets me. So even the sequel is awesome, but the first one is absolutely perfect. All right, those are our favorite MCU films for now. Maybe in the future they'll come up with something better. But we want to hear about what your favorites are, what you thought about Eternals, what you're thinking about Phase 4, what your favorite MCU films are. So please write into us at silverscreensaverspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at screensaverspod, and our Facebook is Silver Screen Savers Podcast. Matt, where can you be found online?
So first of all, I just want to say I did make that into a hashtag. Hashtag so Glenn Close yet so Glenn Far. That's like our third or fourth tweet on the
We've been
account.
at this for 1 hour 45, and that's been my favorite part.
So we're making that a thing. You can find me at Matty, MattyX Sturds, Sturdz, Instagram, Twitter, and Letterboxd.
Tyler, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler Sutkus. That's Sutkus.
All right, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Michael_Gallet, all lowercase. And you can find me on Letterboxd at mgallet. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We really do appreciate it, and we love creating this stuff for you. Next week, we are going to be discussing two new movies. One is The Harder They Fall, the new Western that is available on Netflix. And the other one is Finch, sci-fi movie. It is Tom Hanks' latest. I also call it Turner and Hooch 2049. That is available on Apple TV Plus. So thank you again, and we will see you next time.
I'm just going to give a quick shout out here to my brother. It's his birthday today. I'll throw that in.
Hey, happy birthday, Jeff.
Bye, everyone. Right.
Peace, guys.
Bye.
Silver Screen Savers podcast was co-created, written, hosted, and produced by Michael Gallet, Tyler Sutkus, and Matt Sturdivant, with additional editing by Matt Sturdivant, intro music by Charles Michel via Pixabay, logo design by Nathan Seidel.